with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Two minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. Do not say you were not warned. Do not think you were not warned. Do not, on this day in which a somewhat lackluster health care bill was signed into law, pretend that the other side is not willing to do violence over it. They are. This is serious. And the question is, how do we respond to it? And it is a thorny question and a knotty one. That's K-N-O-T-T-Y, not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. I don't believe that the white wing deserves a good spanking by a woman in dominatrix gear. Though that's not to say that a bunch of them might not like to have it, but kinky bunch. No, but this is serious, and this is more than a little bit disturbing. As I said, we have been warned. On this program alone, I have played clip after clip after clip after clip of the leaders of the White Wing, Beck, Flush, Hannity, Savage, et al., as they had on-air conniptions and had, in fact, what I suspect many of us have thought to be, well, even though we know that they mean it, there is something inside of us that says, it's shtick. It's what they do to make their millions, Beck and Hannity and Flimball and Savage and that the rest of that filthy crowd. It's their gig. A bit of a sampling of paranoia to begin the program. Come on, Glenn. Where are you?
This is why you must be careful. Jesus preached many things, but he never preached Marxism. If you voluntarily want to live in a commune, I could see Jesus saying, "That's cool. It's cool with me." But I never heard him say, take from someone and give it to someone else. In fact, I'm pretty sure we got that tip not just from Jesus.
Take everything you have. No, back up. Master, what must I do? Rabbi, what must I do to have salvation? Sell everything you own and give it to the poor. And come and follow me. And the young man was sad, and he went away, for he was very rich. Oh, Glenn Beck and your funny little hair colors and your odd little hairdos. I will go toe-to-toe with you on Jesus Christ, you weirdo magic underwear-wearing freak. Back up.
This is why you must be careful. Jesus preached many things, but he never preached Marxism. If you voluntarily want to live in a commune, I could see Jesus saying, that's cool. It's cool with me. But I never heard him say, take.
And they held all things in common and took according to the needs of each. That's the early Christian church. Go live in a commune. Whatever, you know. But what, Glenn? What?
From someone and give it to someone else. In fact, I'm pretty sure we got that tip not just from Jesus, but from the original Jewish religious leader, Moses. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. I want what they have.
You mean like, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor covet thou his ass and oxen, nor covet thou his oil reserves? You mean that, Glenn? Because you know what? We are smack dab in the middle of marking 7 years of a war that you sick freaks began. Because, in fact, you did covet thou. Thou didst covet. The oil under the sands of Iraq. Yeah. Yeah, you did. Texas Betsy telling me that if the rich young man really did say rabbi, that last syllable, A-I, indicates my master, my teacher, meaning you actually need to follow the advice given. Oh, yeah, and the New Testament's just chock-a-block of it. Every time it says Lord or master or teacher, rabbi. But since the ancient Koine Greek, you got to remember, Koine Greek, in which the first editions of the Gospels and the letters of St. Paul were published, Koine Greek is a sort of gutter Greek. It's the Greek of the shopkeepers and shorthanded. It's not lovely and beautiful and soaring like the ancient classical Greek of Homer. And Koine Greek really, not so much for rabbi. But most assuredly, teacher, master, Lord, once you get it translated into English, the loaf warden, the Lord, loaf warden, the Lord, the person who guards your bread, master, teacher, my master. Now, what was that, Glenn?
The original Jewish religious leader, Moses. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. I want what they have. And for those who say somehow or another that I am distorting the socialist view of social justice, oh my goodness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother. Hold.
As much as the Bible might teach contrary, Glenn, you son of a bitch, self-made, you're not my brother. You're an evil, slimy thing that just squithers across the floor and needs to be roundly stomped. You need a flamenco dance done on you, Glenn. I say this, of course, figuratively and not literally, because I'm a nonviolent person. But you know what? He does his own flamenco dance. Every word that comes out of Glenn Beck's mouth is a product
of the twisted psychosis. It's like tertiary syphilis with just worms and things eating through the brain, what used to be brain cell material inside his skull.
Cal, you've broken three commandments, three of them, all on one principle. That's amazing. And for those of you in the administration who are coming after me on this one, I mean, remember, you've broken three. Let's not make it four. Thou shalt not kill.
Woohoo! Oh, my! Get out the pointy hats and fire up the clown car! Glenn Beck just said that big, bad Marxist Obama, who pals around with, what is it now lately, Glenn? Maoists! Yeah, Maoists! Is gonna kill him. People coming after him and gonna kill him. Don't break commandment number four, thou shalt not kill. You really did just hear me play that. I really did just play that. I'm not kidding. Paranoia will destroy ya. Oh, my God!
Three of them all on one principle. That's amazing. And for those of you in the administration who are coming after me on this one, I mean, remember, you've broken three. Let's not make it four. Thou shalt not kill. Back in a minute.
Yeah, we won't be back with you in a minute, Glenn. Our thanks, my thanks, to our friends at Media Matters for America for that little clip. So with that as prologue, I offer you the following. Also, from Glenn Beck. And yeah, I know, you don't like to listen to him any more than I do. But you know what? You build a case. You build a case. And you'll see where we're going. It's just that we have to go through some nasty places to get where we're going.
The Tea Partiers are being set up as violent people. And I've been saying for a while, and apparently I need it for the Hill, so let me say it again. The person that picks up a gun, if they're on the left, they'll be ignored. We've already seen it. If they're a Muslim extremist, they'll be rushed into counseling. But anyone who picks up the gun on the right will destroy the Republic. Because
the logic is failing there. It just said, if anybody picks up a gun on the left, if the Muslim extremist, if anybody picks up a gun on the left, they'll be ignored. If it's a Muslim extremist, he'll be run into therapy. But if a right-winger picks up a gun, he's going to destroy the Republic. Do you see the flaw in his reasoning? There is no point at which picking up a gun in response to virtually anything on earth, save for perhaps, perhaps a direct assault on one's own family in one's own home, and picking up a gun then can be quite the dodgy proposition as well, because you remember that little Ruger 9mm that the birther truther picked up and shot up the Pentagon metro station with, that he got at a gun show that he hadn't had any business with because he was allegedly... Yeah, that guy? Picking up a gun is no solution. Because, for instance, that 9mm pistol, that guy... A 9mm pistol round comes out of the muzzle at a muzzle velocity frequently in excess of 2,000 feet per second.
It will penetrate walls, doors, it will human flesh. There's not televisions, refrigerators. There's not much that a 9mm round traveling at that rate will not penetrate. It is a high penetrating round, for the most part. With that understood, if you pick up a gun in home defense and it's a 9mm pistol, and you're going to try in the heat of the moment, which most of us are not trained to deal with, try to defend your castle. Castle doctrine is what it's called. You may use deadly force in protection of your home and your family. And you shoot errantly. It really does become a matter of, I shoot a bullet into the air, whither it lands, I know not where. I do not care. If it's an apartment complex, and it can go from 1A into 1B like that. Even something like a really good home defense 410 shotgun that can do more than adequate damage at close range. Even that can cause problems. It is something to which you resort only in the most extreme, most ultimate brand of extremis. And he says something. You know, when I say something, I usually try to provide examples. I usually try to provide examples of what I'm talking about. And when someone cannot provide an example, it generally indicates that they do not have any evidence with which to back up their assertion. To wit, let's go back and begin this again.
The Tea Partiers are being set up as violent people. And I've been saying for a while, and apparently...
Okay, no example there.
I need it for the Hill, so let me say it again. The person that picks up a gun, if they're on the left, they'll be ignored.
Who was ignored?
We've already seen it.
Okay, well, repeat it for me, because we haven't already seen it, Glenn.
If they're a Muslim extremist, they'll be rushed into counseling.
Is that what you call waterboarding Khalid Sheikh Mohammed up to 6 times a day for a month and a half, 2 months? Was that therapy, Glenn? Gee, silly me. I thought it was torture.
But anyone who picks up the gun on the right will destroy the Republic.
Kind of depends on motive and intent, doesn't it, Glenn? In light of the fact that many on the right, Christian Reconstructionists, for example, state that their sole goal is to overturn the constitutional form of government in the United States and institute their own sick, weird-ass, twisted version of Mosaic law here. Yeah, they do intend to overturn the Republic.
As the media... and this government have made up their mind. You have a government that does not listen, is the most arrogant government I have ever seen. I mean, if you remember, George Bush was too arrogant. I've never seen arrogance like this. You must... be extraordinarily careful. You must, if you see or hear something and you think somebody is dangerous, you must call police.
But sorry, no police being called. Again, thanks to Media Matters. They do work that down the road may prove to be absolutely... indispensable as we watch the right-wing assault on the American people. And let's see, just so his lard assness won't feel left out. Let's try this on just for size.
Well, in fact, you know what? Snerdly has a great idea.
Snerdly. Just so you'll know, this is his response to the healthcare bill being signed and what he thought the people watching it being signed looked like.
And we're going to do this. We are going to start collecting our own sob stories. And, Stacy, you might want to be one of our sob stories. Instead of bringing up individuals who have supposedly been treated harshly because of an unfair country and an unfair insurance industry, what we're going to do is create our own roster of sob story people, small businesses who have been put out of business, small business people whose taxes are raised, making it impossible to stay in business for very much longer, people like you, whose entire industry is being targeted for eventual destruction. Now, we're going to do people genuinely hurt by the legislation.
In other words, he's going to make crap up.
There will be no shortage. There won't be any. If you want to be one of our subs.
Of course there won't be any shortage. They're going to be imaginary people. The limitless, the boundless frontiers of the imagination.
Stories. I hope you're not. But if a sob story happens to you, we, the EIB Network, will happily be your outlet.
Yeah, later in the program he said of the signing story, it's the largest Star Wars bar scene I have ever seen. And then to the same degree that Glenn Beck has fashioned for himself a degree of stunningly self-worshipping paranoia, thinking that the Obama administration's literally coming after him with a gun. See, that's a function of his own fantasy of going after people with guns. Limbaugh declared that the signing ceremony was designed... I think Rush might need to get off the junk and go back to talking to the horses where Cindy McCain talked to the horses in Arizona some more. The timing of the signing ceremony was a direct affront at him from President Obama. Hope your day's ruined. Wow. Now, I offer you all these things in order to offer you this. Do not take this lightly. Take this as seriously as you would take an assault on your home. I offer you the doctrine of the 3%. The 3% are the folks the founders counted on to save the Republic when everyone else abandoned it. And we will. There will be no more free Wacos and no more free Katrinas. For we are the 3%. Now, bear in mind, this freak does not mean in saying Katrina that there will be no more natural disasters in which the most vulnerable among us are left to starve and die and drown and... No. He means where people came and got their guns. Same thing with Waco. There will be no more free Wacos and no more free Katrinas, for we are the 3%. We will not disarm. You cannot convince us. You cannot intimidate us. You can try to kill us if you think you can. But remember, we'll shoot back. We are not going away. We are not backing up another inch. And there are 3 million of us. Your move, Mr. Wannabe Tyrant, your move. And as things begin to spin out of control, remember this. All politics in this country now is just dress rehearsal. For civil war. Here's an idea. If nobody wants a civil disturbance, why in heck don't they quit disturbing us? Indeed. All politics in this country is dress rehearsal for civil war. I never know. I honest to God, I never know. I say things on this program, and, you know, if I get the dates of Millard Fillmore's presidency wrong, I'll get 8 dozen emails informing me of the correct dates. On the other hand, if I drop all pretense and artifice, and I tell you plainly that the right wing wants you dead, crickets. Now, the reason what bothers me out of that is the fact that I don't know if you're not responding because you're sitting there and saying, well, yeah, you're right, they do, and there's no need for a response, or if you just reach over and you turn off your little internet the streamer player and walk off and say, well, there goes Bob trying to get us all head up and worried about some crazy ass redneck going to shoot our ass. I don't know, because you don't tell me. Where did that 3%...
Thank you.
you think you might look around and see what if there are any self-defense classes available? You know, you don't have to run out and become a 13th degree black belt or anything to make this work. But simple principles of staying safe, I believe, and I understand the danger of using that word, I believe, are called for at this time. 90% of it is a matter of just being aware of your circumstances and not stumbling and shambling through life as if in a dream. Look around you when you're going places. Look, if you're leaving the office and heading to the parking lot, look around you. God knows if you've got some sort of advocacy sign in your yard, be aware of any occurrences that are out of the ordinary. I'm not asking you to be paranoid. I'm not asking you to be scared. I'm asking you, born of my respect, born of my regard, born of my love for all of you, for the love of God, for the love of whatever you call holy, be aware of the world in which you are living, because the world in which you are living is beginning to crawl with white-wing vermin. Mostly they're cowards, so they will come at you from your blind side. It doesn't take a lot of guts to chuck a brick through a window. It just takes a lot of hate. But I think about bricks through windows, and I think about my grandchildren playing in the living room, and what would happen if that happened here. These murderous asses don't care what would happen if they threw a brick through a window where children, infants, were playing in the living room. They don't care. They think it would be justified. Quote, assassinate is the word they used toward the children of lawmakers who voted yes. How much of a leap do you think it is from lawmakers to you? Because remember, the scene where the bill was signed today was a real Star Wars bar scene, according to Flimball. Have you stopped for a minute to think about what that means? It means that the attendees were so insufficiently white as to look freakish. To look freakish to Flush Flimball. Every now and then, I'll crack open a fortune cookie, and I'll get that "May you live in interesting times" ancient Chinese curse. And a curse it is indeed. Second only to "May you be involved in a lawsuit in which you're sure you're right." I think that's an old Hungarian curse. It's getting difficult to pretend that everything's going to be okay. Very difficult indeed. Because although we take stumbling, half-crippled steps forward, the right wing is always there to try to take us backwards. The right wing is always there to try to threaten us and derail us from keeping our eyes on the prize. How do I tell you not to be afraid in the face of violence? All I can tell you is don't be afraid in the face of violence. That's all I can offer you. These three percenters say, from long experience myself, I can only say, you betcha, only cowards dare cringe. Mike Vanderboog says, this is no small thing to restore a republic after it has fallen into corruption. I have studied history for years, and I cannot recall it ever happening. It may be that our task is impossible. Yet if we do not try, then how will we know it can't be done? And if we do not try, it most certainly won't be done. The Founders Republic and the larger war for Western civilization will be lost! But I tell you this, we will not go gently into that bloody collectivist good night. Indeed, we will make with our defiance such a sound as all history from that day forward will be forced to note, even if they despise us in the writing of it. And when we are gone, the scattered free survivors hiding in the ruins of our once great republic will sing of our deeds in forbidden songs, tending the flickering flame of individual liberty until it bursts forth again, as it must, generations later. We will live forever like the Spartans at Thermopylae in sacred memory. Mmm. Oh, Agnes, get the net. I would just dearly love to have horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner just do an on-the-spot diagnosis of this paranoid maniac. That comes from Mike Vanderboog, The Lessons of Mumbai, Death Cults, The Socialism of Imbeciles, and Refusing to Submit of 1 December 2008. Are you, y'all ready for this? A photograph of, oddly enough, an AK-47, a Russian made, maybe Chinese. When democracy becomes tyranny, I still get to vote. Great big penis extensions. That's what these things are. This freak, by the way, is apparently in Alabama. Oh, Matt! You paying attention? Matt Osborne, white courtesy phone. Matt Osborne, white courtesy phone. That's the only color courtesy phones there are in Alabama. Sorry. Yeah. Mike Vanderboog is apparently in Pinson, Alabama. And he warns you, please note that death threats via telephone on a line under federal court-ordered wiretap are perfectly fine with me and quite entertaining, but rather stupid. They're out there. Don't know how you feel about it. It don't make me feel too good. We'll take a little break. You want to jump in on the phone lines? You're more than welcome to. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported, unflinchingly, nonviolent, liberal voice. I hate it when this happens. This is the horn.
And there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, let's see if we can get a second hour under our belt. God knows I'll try. I have a confession to make. I didn't hear the Green News Report. I usually hang on every word from Brad and Desi, but I spent the time instead on the phone with our good friends at CityNet trying to figure out what in God's name is going on here. Email rolls in. Kate writing, now that we've been presented with the little prick in his high-top tennis shoes, spouting his insane paranoia, are we also to be afraid, very afraid? When do we stop fighting against them with impotent rage and start visioning what kind of society in which we would feel safe? What are some solutions? To control the mob, the insane leader needs to be silenced. You know, jihadist grandma dykes with pink nines. That ought to do it. They have nothing to live for, no medical coverage till 2014. Why not leave a memorable legacy? Well, some of them will have health care coverage before 2014, thanks to the fact that there is a significant Medicaid buy-in. And, you know, this, but all kidding aside, that's the toughest question. Because the way we respond to this kind of stuff is the sort of stuff that involves the lizard brain, and you've got to work really hard to get the human brain involved. You know, you got to get past the 2001 proto-humans dancing around the monolith, whacking each other with bloody thigh bones part. Because when somebody whacks you with a bloody thigh bone, you want to whack them with a bloody thigh bone. Eye for an eye and the whole world goes blind. You know? I cannot and I will not and I do not advocate violence in response to violence, and I will never praise it, and I will never excuse it. But I understand it. I do understand that lizard brain stuff is mighty, mighty, mighty potent poison. There's another post over at Sipsy Street Irregulars. Nancy just sent this to me. Just thought you might want to gander at this nuts blog, and the response is frightening, probably tied to the actual window-busting nonsense that went on after the vote. And that is, you know, still going on. The blog post is titled, "To All Modern Sons of Liberty, This Is Your Time. Break their windows. Break them now. Sons of Liberty, burn and sack the house of the Massachusetts Lieutenant Governor Thomas Hutchinson." A print from the late 18th century. Mike Vanderboog says, "To all free Americans who still hold dear the founders' vision of a constitutional republic and who wish to remain free, Nancy Pelosi's intolerable act," that's what he calls it, Nancy's and Pelosi's intolerable act, "is within days of passage by devious means so corrupt and twisted that even members of her own party recoil in disgust." This is from Friday, March the 19th. Devious means so corrupt and twisted, yet, you know, democratic process. Go figure. "This act will order all of us to play or pay, and if we do not wish to, we will be fined. If we refuse to pay the fine out of principle, we will be jailed. If we resist arrest, we will be killed." God damn! I had no idea that there was a capital punishment death penalty provision for not paying into the mandate. Oh, wait. The financial penalty provision was pulled. "They will send the Internal Revenue Service and other federal police to do this in thousands of small Wacos if that is what it takes to force us to submit." Submit to what, Mike Vanderboog? Submit to having once yearly free preventative care screenings? God damn, Mike Vanderboog! I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees with a stethoscope to my chest. "This arrogant elite pretends that this oppression is for our own good, while everyone else understands..." Who the hell is everyone else? And what is an arrogant elite? "Understands that this is about their selfish, insatiable appetite for control over our liberty, our money, our property, our lives, and our precious bodily fluids!" Okay, I added the precious bodily fluids part. But it's the same thing. It's General Ripper out at the Cucamonga Air... What was the name of the air base? Come on, trivia moment. What was the name of the air base in... That's two Stanley Kubrick references in one night. In Dr. Strangelove, what was the... Burpelson! Burpelson Air Force Base! "The majority of the people have made it plain that they do not want this tyrannical transfer of power wrapped in soft lies." Dude, you missed the announcement! Mike, let me see if I can do this. Mike Vanderboog! Don't eat the brown acid. Don't eat the brown acid. Too late. We got us some sure enough crazy walking the ground. By the way, nice crowd in the chat room. If you've never been to the chat room, this would be a great night to try it out. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. And, you know, by the way, I have no idea how to pronounce V-A-N-D-E-R-B-O-E-G-H. Closest I can get is Vanderboog. And being how it sounds like he's a gun-toting booger eater, that works fine by me. Probably a window licker into the bargain, but, you know, who the hell am I to say? Oh, I think I need that for a bumper. Come on, what's that Kink song that says Paranoia Will Destroy You? Yeah, I don't think I've got any kinks at all. Well, at least not the band. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
I wanted to make some observations about the other day when they were, Congress was debating and all.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all the protesters of various sorts and, for various things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I couldn't watch all of the debate, so-called, that they had in the Senate, in the Congress, because it just was too much. But I watched a lot, and I noticed that when the Republicans would say something, there was huge cheers. And far more, than anything that the Democrats had. And anyway, they just every once in a while they say, that you need to have decorum in here and all that kind of stuff. But I was thinking about how different they treat Democrats now. If there had been a bunch of Democrats in there, wouldn't have been there very long. And I'm not talking about from the Republicans. I'm talking about from the Democrats. And Cindy Sheehan was up there protesting the war. And it wasn't. She hadn't been up there hardly any time before she got arrested. I just want to bring that up.
No, I know.
And the Republican congressmen were going out and stirring up that crowd, and one of them took out the "Don't Tread on Me" and all that kind of stuff. But of course, about all the spitting and name calling and all like that.
Right, which they now say didn't happen.
That was filmed.
Yeah, No. I read a comment today. There's a YouTube video that proves that it never even happened, and the Democrats just made it up.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, so there you go. That was really very noticeable to me, and to think about, Cindy Sheehan, what could she have done so quickly to have gotten arrested so quickly? And just like when you went up to that hearing, you were told you had to be on your very best behavior. But maybe in the Congress part you don't.
No. And see, that's the thing. The actual chambers of Congress are sort of a verbal free fire zone where you can say anything you want to, and then people will say, "Well, shame on you for saying that." And then the Republican will say, "I apologize to my esteemed communist lefto pinko friend." And then he'll raise $1 million from a little mouth-breathing knuckle walkers.
Yeah, that's true.
And be declared a patriot and son of liberty by the likes of Mike Vanderboog. Oh, it's a beautiful, it is an absolutely beautiful little dodge, Juanita.
Yeah. Well, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. Happens to me all the time.
But just to throw
this out there. You ever heard that phrase, "You can't unring a bell"?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Repiglicans know that. They knew that with Joe, whose name wasn't Joe Wilson, when he screamed, "You lie!"
Yeah.
And they know that with Randy Noogie Boyer. What did you... Jeez.
Baby killer.
Yeah, hollering baby killer.
Yeah. I think he did it twice, you know. But he didn't mean it about, you know, that guy. No, he just was talking about in general.
Yeah, just general. He said, "Yeah, you know, I said the legislation was a baby killer." Like all of a sudden, from Schoolhouse Rock, the bill is sitting forlornly on the steps next to the clerk's desk, and he's screaming at the bill, "Baby killer."
Yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you too, Bob, you're not paranoid. You're just telling the truth, honest to God's truth.
Well, sometimes sometimes it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, maybe I'm paranoid too, but I mean, I know that I remember something that happened here. It's always something happening, but you know, horrible things, but I remember this, I think it's been, maybe it's been 10 years ago. This, young black man was, visiting down here, and he went out to get a newspaper, you know, out of one of the bins, you know, that you, and he got, picked up by these two white guys, and he was taken out in the middle of nowhere and was set on fire. He lived. He was able, you know, I guess, I don't remember now the details, but you know, something like that happened then, you can be sure those people are going to do some damage. They already have. Because they're not reasonable, and then you've got not in a, only, Rush, we've got Glenn Beck now, egging them on.
Oh, yeah. The Mike Vanderbugs out there are just shock troops for the culture war.
Yeah, that's a good,
you know, this,
good description.
This guy, you know, and I'm sure he's out there. You know, Glenn Beck's just an everyman like me.
Yeah.
Just got him some guns and living off in the Sipsy wilderness. That's where Sipsy comes from. The minute I saw Sipsy Street Irregulars. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I can't get over my Alabama-ness. But Sipsy, the Sipsy Wilderness Area? Yeah, there's a place in Alabama called the Sipsy Wilderness Area. And I guess this is where this guy's going to go with his, I don't know, with his freeze-dried meals ready to eat and his cache of guns and iodine tablets for his bottled water after the apocalypse and hold up and shoot it out with the liberals.
I can't help but say that you can also get canned stuff, you know, to eat, you know, from a place that advertises on Alex Jones.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, a big supply. So you can also get the canned food.
It, right.
Don't forget your can opener.
Exactly. Juanita, you are the queen of practicality. Because these right-wing booger eaters would run off into the wilderness to our last stand for liberty. Anybody bring a can opener? Oh, no! That's all right, Marvin. You're just going to have to chew the cans open for us. That's your son of liberty duty for us. You're going to sacrifice your teethuses for our liberty.
I don't know what those things are supposed to taste like, you know, but of course they're supposed to be delicious. But I had the experience where I had, where I could get, meals from my insurance company. And, Bob, I swear they had to be some of that stuff they had in Iraq for the soldiers.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because it was the most disgusting thing. And I said, you know, I said, don't you have something plain? And I said, no, this is it. And it, because most of it was just all a bunch of gobbledygook, and it was had water running in it, and once in a while they'd have some fish or something like that. But of course now we don't have that anymore. We can't get that anymore. But I would, you know, I would take it like for they had some pretty good like cookies and things. I said, well, why not, you know? But my God, it was horrible. And I just wonder what those things that they sell, you know, that's in the can, this, you'd be awful, you know, if it was something that was just horrible. Here you paid all this money to be saved in whatever it is that we're going to be saved from. Isn't it funny how they want you to be prepared, and yet they want to leave the world?
But Juanita, that's because there's a doctrinal split among the premillennialists. A doctrinal split between the premillennialists, the millennialists, and the postmillennialists.
Well, yeah.
They're not sure if they're, because they're really not sure if in this made up world that they expect to live in, they're not sure if they have to endure the tribulations or if they get to go before the tribulations or somewhere during the tribulations.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might want to stock up on your food for the apocalypse just in case somebody got I before E before I except after J, and it turns out that you have to tough it out for a while in the Sipsy wilderness.
Yeah. I know. But I would hate to see a country made it, and that's all they're made of. Of those people, I mean, those people, my Lord, and I bet you there's some people that live among them that don't agree with them all, but they don't dare say anything.
Oh, I know, and you know what, Juanita, a note just came in from our buddy Michael, otherwise known as Kid A in the chat room. He says, would most of those wilderness and woodsy areas that the gun-toting Sons of Liberty want to run to when the socialist tyrant Obama comes for them even still be there if it weren't for liberal communist environmental protection and regulation? And he says, just checking, and howdy to Juanita.
Howdy back.
Oh, God. You know, if they weren't armed and dangerous, they'd be just a delightful little after dinner comedy act.
Put
Mike Vanderbooger, put him in a clown car, some floppy shoes, a little red nose, an AK-47 that shoots a red flag out the front. No, it can't be red because he's a Son of Liberty. Shoots a don't tread on me flag out the front, and there you go. I mean,
I found an article about Pat Boone, too. his shenanigans, and also
do me a favor, Juanita. Do me a favor, Juanita. I've got to extract a promise from you.
What?
Don't search Pat Boone anymore.
I didn't search him. He popped up.
Well, see, that's the problem. There are some popped up pictures of Pat Boone out there that you just don't want to see.
Really?
Really. I mean,
Well, he's nuttier than John Volk.
Oh, yeah. But they all are.
Well, in this video, what's so bad is, though, you know, he's like a leader in the church, Pat Boone, in the big churches, you know.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, he was bringing up in the video
fiery immolation that they want. No, I want to do is put them in a cell and throw the key away and never, ever let anyone hear about them again and let the world forget they exist. Because that is the world's worst purgatory for them.
But if they, that goes both ways, Susan, because on the one hand, if they're as violent as they say they are, they're going to go out in a blaze of glory, and they're not going to let that happen. But if, on the other hand, since they are gun freaks, they are probably a gang of chicken cowards.
Yeah.
you know, they're scared to death of suicide by cop.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. You know, a skunk has a powerful stink. But the one thing that the skunk won't tell you is that it's only got a couple of squirts in there and then it's done.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder how many what portion of the American public is equating all of these broken windows with another event that occurred in world history.
Kristallnacht?
They called it Kristallnacht.
Yeah. I may have mentioned that while my connection was down earlier this evening, but yeah.
I mean, yeah. To all of you people who...
Well, but let me ask you, before we get to the how many Americans are equating this with that, I got a question that has to go in front of that, Susan. How many people in America even know it happened?
Exactly.
Because this certainly isn't sufficient to get on Fox. Now, you know, if one of those uninsured grannies that Kate was talking about a little bit ago was to happen to accidentally stomp the big toe of some birther, bagger, deather, tenther, booger eaters, the for-profit media would be in hysterics. You know, we are live outside the hospital where Joe, son of Liberty, is having his instep treated. But this outright violence and threats to assassinate, that, you know, I don't bother watching Cutesy Couric or any of those others, and I certainly won't watch Fox unless somebody straps me into a chair and toothpicks my eyelids open. But I got a $5 bill that says America is not hearing about this.
Well, I think they've never learned, a big portion has never learned of it. Because one of the things that I have been screaming about for decades is this pernicious influence the state of Texas has on schools because of its buying power.
Oh, I know.
If you care about what's going on in your schools, get on the school boards. Do not allow them to buy the textbooks from Texas.
No kidding.
Because you will end up with a bunch of ignorant freefers.
Morons. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Morans. And you know, the Texas responsibility, well, you don't like it. We took Thomas Jefferson out. All right, we'll put it back. Here. Here's the line that'll appear in the Texas history textbook. Thomas Jefferson was a communist. There. You happy?
My idea of a really good textbook, Howard Zinn's History of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're going to be picky, you won't see that. Most people don't even know he exists or who he was.
Although, did you notice... I read an essay about this earlier today. It was an op-ed piece that had been reprinted in the Charleston paper. Immediately after his death, People's History of the United States shot to number 12 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
You know, no little daggers outside the name either.
No, it was just people reaching out and grabbing that book because, frankly, we're afraid it's going to disappear.
I don't know if it'll disappear, but I know that the information contained in it, they are certainly willing to disappear.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, Howard Zinn had an uphill struggle from the moment he published the book, just trying to get people to get it, you know, keep it in the public vision.
Well, and, you hear people say, well, if you don't like what's being taught in the schools, homeschool your kids. Well, what about people who, liberals who want to homeschool their kids? They can't because they can't get materials.
Well, or wanting to homeschool their kids and unable to get materials.
American leadership a definite gerontocracy, to include the Curia and the College of Cardinals. I mean, they need some new blood in there real fast before it's going to become their own.
Well, it's so funny because that idea of, going back to the tribal days of humanity, you had to, when the average human life was, 40, your 38-year-old, pardon?
You were doing good if you hit 40 in some places.
Right, and your tribal council was led by the 38-year-olds, and they were considered elders.
Right.
And you move forward into the slightly more modern era, and lo and behold, ancient Sparta was run by the gerousia, the same root word, G-E-R, as the gerontocracy that you just referred to in the Kremlin. And lo and behold, you go a few hundred years and you get the organizational structure of government in ancient Rome, and it's led, of course, by the Senatus, the Senate.
Supposedly the wisest, the most respected.
Well, Senate comes from Senex, which means, old, really old, and it's the same root word from which we get senile.
Well, I think there's a lot of senility over there. And a lot of it's purposeful senility, and I think they're trying to take advantage of how many Catholics are there? 3 billion? 1 billion? It's a lot.
And the only place where the church is growing
is where the countries are the least educated and ignorance prevails.
And superstition. Don't forget the superstition.
Oh yeah, and I was talking with one Roman Catholic friend of mine about some of the things in the Caribbean, like Santeria, well, in Mexico, too. And they had no idea what I was talking about.
Hang on to that line that I shared with you the other night, Jim. Hang on to that line for dear life and just pass it along. It comes from Lottie in the chat room, who was raised Roman Catholic in his own right. And I think that it's the ultimate distillation of the predicament of the church today. And that is, the vast majority of the world's Roman Catholics practice their Catholicism with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other.
Yeah, I remember those words. Yeah, but I mean, they're just different forms of the native religion or the religions that were brought over from, I guess, Africa and places like that where they have mix them together, and you have these.
Jim, that's how the church has always insinuated itself into a culture. That's why the Irish Church developed with such a different spiritual bent from, say, the Roman Church. The Roman Church was built on literally the ruins of the ancient Roman religious structure. At some point before he was killed, Julius Caesar himself held the position of Pontifex Maximus. The Pope today is the Pontifex Maximus. The mitre and the scepter, all of that stuff comes from Roman religious pagan, if you will, iconography. None of it was developed originio.
Well, I was trying to explain to this person that, for example, the selection of Christmas was based on a Roman holiday.
Yeah, they get real worked up when you bring up Saturnalia.
And they didn't want to believe that, and their reply was, I'm going to have to ask Father So-and-so. And I said,
well, if Father So-and-so's a Jesuit, he'll tell them the truth.
Well, of course he will. But I said, why can't you just go on the Internet and find it out for yourself and just get in your, and think for yourself? And finally, this individual admitted to me, well, whatever the church says, I have to do. And I said,
yeah.
Well, you won't have me joining anytime soon, that's for sure.
Well, the next time you get into this conversation, we're coming up on Holy Week. try explaining to them the origins of Easter.
I tried once, but they didn't want to believe that either. So,
Easter, the word Easter doesn't appear in the scriptures.
Well, back in, I think, the late 90s, we talked about this. So this book came out about Pius and Hitler's Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an article in it about Vanity Fair. And I had an extra copy of Vanity Fair, and I had highlighted some of the stuff, and I gave it to her. And the first thing she did was take it to some Catholic priest or something who's her spiritual mentor and father of her, whatever, her confessions, and he began to repudiate the whole thing. And she reported this back to me, and I said, do you know that when this guy, Mr. Cornwall, started writing this book, he was writing it in defense of the church? And as he dug deeper into the archives and into the actual history of that particular pontificate, Pius the 12th or the 11th, I think it was the 12th, wasn't it?
12th, yeah.
And that really set her askew. And the killing thing on that, and this was very mean of me, but Cornwall ended his book by telling about his funeral and how they had not embalmed him. And when they were carrying the coffin around the Basilica of St. Peter's, and I'm going to be polite tonight, there were these loud eructations.
Yes, yes, I have, yes.
Remember that? And
yeah.
People in the front row from the diplomatic corps were nearly passing out.
It was, I hate to say, it was almost, if you want to work a different angle along these lines, there is a Mark Twain story, Jim, where it's called The Invalid's Tale. You can find it easily just by searching it on Google or whatever. Go read The Invalid's Tale. It's the same thing, only written by Mark Twain and manifestly funnier.
Okay, I'll have to.
You will do yourself a favor. And by the way, while we're on books, there's a wonderful book, you know, kind of self-published, but really, really good scholarship. I believe it's called Murder in the Vatican. But it has to do with the, shall we say, curious circumstances surrounding the death of John the 23rd.
We were talking about that
yeah.
the other night.
And it's not very expensive. I think you can only buy it. I don't know. Maybe you can buy it at Amazon or something. I read it a good while back, and it's just an astonishing thing. It reads like a crime novel, mainly because it's true crime. I'm convinced now that, you know, absent Godfather 3, the guy really was killed.
Well, maybe one of those nuns who attended the Pope happened to slip something in his late evening tea or whatever. Who knows? I mean, Lord have mercy, there's so much stuff that's happened in that place that they're trying to keep quiet and try to get into their archives and things like that. And they will flat stonewall you. They won't let you in. For example, like I mentioned the other night about that priest who signed all those passports for Mengele and Bormann and Eichmann. When they tried to get into that church, they were flatly refused entrance. And he had become like an unperson type thing. They did not want to admit that. But
well, you know, I just got an email in from our buddy Ron in Raleigh, Jim, and he says, imagine the subject line of the email was African Pope. Imagine, Bob, a Pope from the countries where Catholicism is growing the fastest, Italian Catholics in the Bronx kissing the ring of a black or Hispanic Pope. That I would like to see.
Well, that would be something. Indeed, it would. But I don't think it'll ever happen because, you know, they're definitely going to stick to the boys, if they can, from Europe. It used to be the Italians had a sort of monopoly on it, but now they've stretched it out. In closing, I'll say one other thing. I don't know if you've seen this or had the opportunity to see the miniseries that Showtime put out called The Tudors?
No, I have not. But Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com sort of encapsulated it, and I read along. It's like he watched it for me.
Well, they did a good job with that. And it was, I never really imagined Henry VIII as a young man. And, you know,
long before the first beheading, he was quite the lady killer, so to speak.
Right. Of course, you know, the advisors he had, like Cromwell and some of the others, particularly Cromwell, was particularly nasty. But one thing about this man, you did not cross him, and if you did, well, it was to the tower and off of your head. But it's a very good series. Johnson Rice Myers, I think, is his name. The guy does a wonderful job. He really does. And so
I'll have to watch it at some point. You know, maybe just put it on the DVD player. And
I think it'd be worthy. It's good. It's very well done, and it's good eye candy. And as far as I can know, it's very much historically correct. I mean, you know, Henry didn't do all this stuff by himself. He had a lot of help.
Oh, in abundance. By the way, just because I know it'll drive you a little bit crazy, Jim, you'll be pleased to know, or not pleased, that Thomas More Law Center, that right-wing gang of thugs.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're involved some way tangentially with the appeal that was filed today of the health care bill, filed 7 minutes after it was signed into law. You know, it was all reported so breathlessly.
They're a pretty conservative group. I don't know if Thomas More would recognize them or not. I wonder how many of those guys have read Utopia.
You know, that's the way it is. No, they're ideologues. They don't have to read what the guy actually wrote. They, you know, they can just imagine what they want him to be. And by the way, I'm just told by another listener, Marty, that I'm screwing up. I keep saying Pope John the 23rd. What I'm actually talking about is John Paul the First. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah, it was John Paul the First that was more than likely bumped off.
Yeah, I didn't want to say, but, because I wasn't sure. But, you know, he wouldn't have been the first pope they bumped off.
Oh no, not by any stretch of the imagination. One was excommunicated after death. They dug him up to make him sit in trial.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of what I call Byzantine strategies and politics in the church back then. I mean, at one point they had three popes at one time during the Great Papal Schism. While the Pope split and went to Avignon.
Yep. And, that was when the French crown controlled the papacy.
Right. And I'll guarantee you there was a good spinoff from that, and it's called Chateauneuf-du-Pape, one of the finest red wines you'll ever drink.
Oh! Exquisite. Absolutely exquisite. And, it was at the time that the Pope was held hostage in Avignon, the Black Death among the scourged Europe, and it was also one of the Avignon popes who was responsible for the suppression of the Knights Templars. Now all you have to do is say Knights Templars, and the next thing you know, you're off in Merovingian fantasies and stuff like that. Yeah,
French king had borrowed a lot of money from those guys, and he got the Pope on in there. I think it was Philip the Fair. And he got the papacy on his side, and so they were all slaughtered on October 13th, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get the superstition about the 13th. It's when the Knights Templars were, like Jacques de Molay and so many of the others, were murdered. And just, you know, basically it was done for financial more than any other type of reasons, because that way Philip didn't have to pay him the money he owed him back.
Right, and Ronald Reagan became a virulent anti-communist after he was blackballed by the Hollywood Communist Party. Philip had tried to get some sort of auxiliary membership in the Knights Templars and was rejected. And you're right, he was severely in hock to them. Jacques de Molay, Guy d'Auvergne, Godfrey de Gonville, Hugh de Perrault,
Well, these people had a strange way of selling their affairs, didn't it? But it's not that strange, and it's really not that uncommon as of today, is it?
No, and in fact, the Templars set up one of the first medieval/early Renaissance corporate structures, because they existed outside the boundaries of government, and that was absolutely intolerable to somebody or to an organization like the French Crown.
Well, where do you think we got letters of credit and modern banking from?
There you go, them and the Dutch.
All the Templars, they started that. They had banks and they had things like that, and And they said, well, if you're going to be making your pilgrimage to the Holy Land rather than carrying all this gold and stuff, you store it with us, and we'll give you a letter of credit, and it'll tell you how much you have, kind of like their modern-day go-card or whatever. But they started a lot of modern banking practices.
Yeah, because carrying all that gold all over the place was a little bit, suffice to say it wasn't, gold. It's everywhere you want to be. No. It was more like highwaymen. They're everywhere the gold wants to be.
Well, that's right. And, but it is interesting to look back on some of these things. But after all this stuff that's been going on in the Congress and stuff like that, I just wish one of them, instead of calling each other names, would have just started screaming, condoms, Rose, condoms, and at least brought a little comic relief to that thing. I could not believe those people carrying on. And then coming back on the news this morning, saying they didn't say this and I didn't say that and I didn't mean this, I didn't mean that. Well, you know, what the hell did they mean?
Yeah.
Screaming baby killers and...
Well, yeah, what do they mean now that they're putting bricks through windows?
Yeah, you're right.
What do they mean when one of the bricks has a note attached to it that says, give me a second, I've got it right here. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. You know, the old Barry Goldwater. What do they mean by that? What do they mean when they call Louise Slaughter's office and threaten to assassinate her children and the children of every Democrat who voted for the bill? What do they mean, Jim?
Well, they mean exactly the same thing that the Nazi Party did when they first came to power. They mean the same thing they meant when Hitler had the Night of the Long Knives. They mean the same thing that the Nazis did when they had the Night of the Broken Glass or Kristallnacht. Because of a minor embassy official in Paris being killed by a Jewish boy, and they're using these things to promote wickedness and death and intolerance and all the other attendant things that belong to the Nazi parties. I mean, these you don't have to go into the Aryan Brotherhood and some of these Timothy McVeigh organizations to find these Nazis. They're everywhere. You know, Hitler would be proud of them. I really think so.
Oh, I had, yes. And you know what? In their hearts, they'd be proud to know he is. Hey, Jim, I got to run along, but it's awful good talking to you. Thanks for the insights. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and good evening to you.
All right, take care. Bye now. Yeah, I mentioned the Easter business in talking with Jim. Well, just look at the word, E-A-S-T-E-R. Now, who was the principal goddess of ancient Mesopotamia? Yeah, that's right. Ishtar, also known as Astarte. You know, that's why we celebrate the resurrection of Christ by noting that certain rabbits are able to lay chocolate Easter eggs. The egg being a symbol of rejuvenation and rebirth and spring and... Because the church, Christianity isn't so much a religion as an overlay. It's, it's ancient religion 2.1. Everybody has a spring celebration. Everybody has a spring solstice celebration. Hence, Easter. Everybody has a winter, a spring equinox. I'm sorry, I'm really ditzy this evening. This bandwidth business is driving me bat. Everybody has a winter solstice celebration, Saturnalia, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody has, you get the idea. Ron and Raleigh, I suspect being a bit of a smart aleck. Don't you understand these folks are being taken out of context all the time? Oh, God, that's like saying a bullet's out of context if it's not in the gun. You guys just kill me. Joe Ray, the foxhole atheist, writes in and says, the right-wingers are acting like spoiled brats because they want less regulation and smaller government. Their window-breaking lies and total lack of knowledge of how a democracy works is a very strong argument for just why we need more government regulation. Of course, their god is an iron, so it makes sense that they practice irony to worship the great iron in the sky. So true. So true. So, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, boss.
Hey, boss, what's up?
You know, as Forrest Gump would say, I don't know too much about that. you know, the knowledge the two of you hold in your head is absolutely flabbergasting, I will say that.
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
I can barely change my own oil.
Well, you know, I had those thoughts, but I'm glad you brought it up, not me.
Yeah, I can crawl under the truck. I can crawl under the truck and contemplate the Merovingian dynasty.
See, I can fix most anything.
Yeah, but you're useless on Merovingians.
Oh, yeah, most. I will readily admit that. I will readily admit that. But listen, I wanted to call because I got a little bit of good news.
Yeah?
While I was at the Raleigh County School Board, and I lost, as I expected I would, you know, I told you the whole story about Fry Roofing and all that. Well, the guy that owns Fry Roofing, I was at a bid opening earlier today for Midland Trails High School roof job.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, the guy came over to me and said, how you doing? And I said, good. And I said, and you are? And he said, J.C. Robbins. And, you know, well, I knew who that was immediately. Now, I don't know if I described it to you. The last time I saw this guy was in Kanawha County when we convinced the school board to, in fact, give the job to the second bidder. And at that time, he had he had a Benjamin Franklin kind of hairdo. You know, his hair started about three quarters back on the top of his head.
And fell to his shoulders?
Long and curled up and all that. And this guy, he surprised me because this was a bald-headed, shaved guy. And, you know, and he told me his name, and I said, oh, well, and I shook his hand. I said, you know, the last time I saw you, you had a lot more hair. And he said, yeah, well, I just built a new house, and every time I get in the hot tub, I have to go blow dry my hair, so I figured to heck with it, I'll just shave it. And I said, well, you know, kind of a radical move, but I guess it...
If it works.
Yeah, I guess it solved that problem. Anyway, he lost that bid up in Fayette County, which, you know, I like to think I have a little something to do with that. He's been losing more bids here because his bids are going up. And, you know, that may be the result of having to pay out an extra $10,000 every quarter for the next 2 years to satisfy the workers that he cheated. But then we went to, he was leaving, and I said, I'll see you later, because, you know, I knew he was going to go to the Raleigh County School Board meeting. And, you know, knowing that I planned on getting there kind of towards the last moment so that I could sign up to speak after he had signed up to speak so that, you know, I could counter anything he had to say. And I want you to know this guy actually stood up and bragged that he hires Mexicans and that they come from North Carolina, but the reason that he does that is they're much more skilled and better workers than West Virginians. No. If that isn't a big enough insult to all West Virginia workers, which is, you know, quite funny because we have quite a few union roofing contractors that hire West Virginia workers, and one of them beat him in the bid today. One of them beat him in a bid on March 15th at a school in Mingo County. And, you know, it's amazing how these companies can survive with all of these unskilled, non-productive workers. So anyway, we went on through the thing, and of course the school board awarded him the job because he has threatened to sue, and that's all you have to do, and then they shake in their pants and
Just shake? That's all they do?
Yeah. And, you know, I ended my thing and I let them know is after I gave my little spill that what I need is three elected officials, and I use that to remind them that they are, in fact, elected and that the people from North Carolina can't vote for them. I need three elected officials with enough guts to stand up for West Virginia workers. Of course, I didn't find any, and they awarded him the job. But what I really called about was to tell you that there was some good news at the meeting. The school board was at the SBA today pleading for money for a new Marsh Fork Elementary School.
Indeed they were. I had read that earlier.
Yes, they were. And during the meeting, they unveiled a letter from Mr. Blankenship of Massey Energy committing $1 million to the project, which reduced the amount of money that Raleigh County had to ask for from the SBA. And I would say that now we won't know until May, probably the middle of May, who will be awarded because, you know, there's if the SBA has $1 million to or $100 million to dole out, they have $500 million worth of requests. But I would say that chances are very good of Raleigh County getting that money and Marsh Fork.
That'll be wonderful. There's only, you know, you know me. I'm the diehard glass half full guy. The only thing that scares me about the Blankenship thing is that he'll take it out in trade, as they say, and that he'll give them he'll say we're going to do the dirt work.
Yeah, he'll insist on cutting some other legitimate contractor out of the dirt work. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll do the dirt work up where he just happens to have blown away a mountain.
Right. Exactly. You know.
So instead of being below the sludge pond, the kids will be next to the sludge pond.
God, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Tell me, am I being overly paranoid?
No, you are not. I mean, well, you know, look at the evil things they've done. You know, but and Coal River Mountain Watch was there.
Yeah, I know. I thought Judy was going to be there today.
Yes, and you know, they donated $10,000. But you have to understand that $10,000 came from people that can barely afford to give anything.
Yeah, that came $5 at a time.
Exactly, and I think that is far more significant than Mr. Blankenship's donation.
Yeah, I think there's something in the Bible about that, Wayne.
Yeah.
Something about the widow's mite?
Yes. Am I correct in that this $1 million is coming from Massey?
Yes.
Well, you know, seems like since Mr. Blankenship had $4 million to buy a Supreme Court justice seat, that
for the sake of the kids,
come up with a couple of million dollars on his own.
He had $4 million to blow for the sake of the kids.
For the sake of the kids.
That was the name of his 527.
Yep.
That he used to smear Warren McGraw.
Yes.
$4 million. The Supreme Court of the United States commented on it rather disapprovingly.
Yes, they did.
And if he had $4 million for that, why doesn't he have $4 million for the sake of the kids?
Exactly. And then the SBA will only have to kick in a couple $1 million, and they could use what money they have to build some other needy community a school.
Right, exactly. But I guess the hang up there, Wayne, is that the Massey accountants haven't figured out a way to call a blown up mountain moonscape $4 million worth of dirt work.
Oh, they'll figure it out. Don't worry. They're working on it as we speak.
poor little Massey accountants out there going after new glasses already.
But, you know, looking on the bright side, you know, it does look like those kids are going to get a new elementary school.
And it's so desperately needed. Even under the best of circumstances, that school is not, I mean, that thing was like a middle school at one point. It was not designed for six-year-olds.
No, it wasn't. And, Bob, even if it was a brand-new school, in the location that it's at, it is still contaminated by school or coal dust daily, is in the threat of the largest toxic dam in the world, or dam close to it. And, you know, so it wouldn't matter if it was a brand new facility. It's the location. And, do you have any idea where, they're thinking about?
No, that's the thing. The site is always the question.
Right. And I mean, didn't you describe the other night that if that thing broke, it would, there would be a 60-foot high wave for how long?
No, that's Brushy Fork.
Oh, that's Brushy Fork.
Yeah, those things, and that's, you know, most people don't may not know that those toxic waste seas are all over that into Raleigh County and over into Boone County. Brushy Fork is permitted for like 9.8 billion gallons, Wayne. And if it breaks, yeah, 40-foot, 60-foot high wall of water. I think it's still like 15 feet high when it hits Racine, if you know the topography down there.
Okay.
That's a good bit of distance.
Yes, it is.
What hangs over the children at Marsh Fork Elementary is, that's the Shoemate Dam, and that is 2.8 billion gallons. So I guess maybe that would only be a wall of water 20 feet high or 15 feet high.
Oh, yeah, nothing to worry about.
Yeah. In the clear.
Yeah.
And that's without regard to the fact that there is long overdue, and this, I got to be fair, this has nothing to do with Massey, there's long overdue asbestos remediation that needs to be done inside Marsh Fork Elementary.
Well, exactly. They are not going to do that if they get a new school, you know.
Right.
I mean, those people have been ignored for way too long. And, you know, the Raleigh County School Board is a big part of that being ignored. I mean, how long has this been going on?
Yeah.
How many years has this, you know?
Oh, by the way, you know, the things that come up in this program, Wayne, we just got an email in. Subject line, oil change hint for me.
Oh,
Lefty loosey, rightsy tightsy.
There you go.
P.S. Put the drain plug back in before adding new oil. I've actually forgotten to do this. But then I'm the type of guy who has to wear his keys around his neck.
But, you know, anyone has changed oil has made that mistake.
Oh, yeah. Hey, where's all my oil? Why'd my engine lock up?
I remember changing the clutch in a truck one time and putting the transmission back in and all, and, you know, finishing the last tightening of the bolts, and then pulling myself out from under the truck and feeling something. And I said, what the hell is that? And I picked it up, and it was the throw-out bearing. So
couldn't possibly have needed that.
I had to take everything back apart and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, most of the time you only do that once.
And you thank the universe if you don't learn the lesson the hard way.
Yes, you do.
All you had to do was undo everything you'd done. It didn't happen to you, you know, 5 miles down the road.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, you know, our vehicle broke down the other day, but I was really proud of it. It happened to break down right before I turned in to the garage.
Oh.
I thought that was downright considerate of my vehicle.
Very considerate.
You know, a friend of mine used to talk, and by no means is this a Mercedes or a BMW, but a friend of mine who was into German automobiles said the difference between a Mercedes and a BMW is that a Mercedes will have the common decency to break down in your driveway.
Right.
Whereas a BMW will wait until you're 30 miles from home in the middle of nowhere.
I couldn't tell you how true that is. I've never been privileged enough to drive either one of them.
Me either. But he had a penchant for 15-year-old Mercedeses, and But, you know, having it break down in front of the garage, saving me, you know, a solid $75 tow bill.
In my younger days, I drove an XKAE, but it was hotter than the sun, so I don't guess that counts.
And I don't think you're talking about the interior being warm.
No, I'm not. But, I mean, you know, we're forgiving, aren't we, Bob?
Oh, we are. We are the soul of forgiveness. Go.
I mean, I was young.
Yeah, go, Wayne, and sin no more. Hotter than the sun. Sorry, you hurt me there.
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
Ooh, Jesus, this thing's hotter than the surface of the sun.
But anyway, I just wanted to call and pass on that news. I thought, you know, well.
It's news worth having, and it's good news.
Well, it is good news, and, you know, it brightened the rest of my day. At least I left the school board meeting being happy.
Well,
about
let me
something.
Ask you, since I have a child who attends that particular high school you were at and concerned with in Fayette County, are they actually going to put a roof on it?
Yes, they are. And it's going to be a union contractor that does it.
Well, hot dog, because, you know, usually if we need something over there, they just give us the cast-offs from Fayetteville. What, you need a new roof? Well, they got an old one laying out in a pile in the backyard. That's what happened with our football stadium.
Getting a new roof.
Hallelujah.
You know, and
and before we even need it.
Yeah, and this union contractor promised to have it done in 45 days. So I think that's, that was a win.
So he'll have to wait for a break in the weather, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I forget when he said he would start, middle of May or something like that.
Yeah, because I got really teased by the decent weather. And, you know.
Did you have snow this morning?
No, but we had sleet.
Okay, we had snow.
I think you're at a slightly higher elevation than I am.
Yeah, but it went away quick, you know.
Favorite kind of snow.
Yeah, me too, that quick snow. Oh, it's beautiful, but now it's gone. Isn't that great?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's beautiful also. You know. That's beautiful also. So, anyway, boss, I just wanted to pass that along.
All right.
And, you have a good evening.
All right. Take care, Wayne.
All right, man.
Later, man.
Yep.
Bye. Oh, sometimes he just does it to me. That's Boss Man Wayne. Hotter than the surface of the sun. Oh, goodness. I think I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to collect my, my wits or my composure or whatever it is that we're calling it that I don't have much of right now. And take a little break and come back to your phone calls just to finish things off. Yeah, I mentioned a song earlier, and lo and behold, bless her heart, Sue was right on top of it. This just seems to fit for, you know, I don't know. Shall we do a Casey Kasem long distance dedication? Hey! Welcome back to the Horn. We're going to take a break, but before we go away, we've got a long-distance dedication going out to Mike Vanderbooger. Wandering around, eating freeze-dried food in the Sipsy Wilderness and stroking his firearm with psychotic glee as he encourages people to make death threats against American citizens and put bricks through windows. This one's for you, Mike. Only on the Horn, America's liberal voice. You know, it really helps when the song plays. You know, that's really annoying. Okay, let's do it this way. Okay, stop that. Start. You know, I set all this stuff up, and then look, I'm not complaining, and I'm not whining, but I've got to tell you, it is intensely frustrating to be smack dab in the middle of what, you know, could be a nice little break and just have it all go to crap. So this is for you, Mike Vanderbooger, only on the Horn.
Met a girl called Lola and I took her back to my place. Feeling guilty, feeling scared, hidden cameras everywhere. Stop! Hold on. Stay in control. Inside of me, they keep stopping me.
I know you'll understand. There's a time device inside of me. I'm a self-destruction man. There's a wreck under my bed, and there's a little green man in my head. And said you're not going crazy, you're just a
Head on begins next.
1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck. 23 and a half minutes past the time that I should have run that intro. But, you know, it just adds a little bit of, I don't know, cohesion and form to the whole thing, especially with the Kinks ending cold like that. You know what? A song with a cold ending can absolutely just slaughter a DJ. You know, there's nothing that you know. There's nothing to segue into. It's just dumb. Yeah. That just seems so apropos because that's what's running absolutely wild. It's running, you know, a river of paranoia runs through it. The it, in this case, being the White Wing. But you know what? Despite all the weird bandwidth problems and whatnot, we've got, you know, we're pretty close. We've got, 36 minutes left in the program. If you want to jump into the conversation, you are more than welcome to do so. 36 minutes to go in the program. 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's toll free on our nickel. If you want to carry it on your own nickel, it's 304-658-3333. And having said, oh, by the way, email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. And having said all that, let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
That's Richard.
Hey, Richard, what's up?
Wow, I was listening to the download of the show that we did yesterday, and for the first time, my sound was really good.
Yeah, it was really quite nice.
Did you guys do anything? I've been trying to.
Oh, John and I spent about 7-8 hours 2 weekends ago, with me pointing a webcam at the mixer and everything. Him engineering in Australia and me tweaking in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Ain't technology grand?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've been kind of researching bad telephones for quite a while. It's terrible. But you know, something happened. I was a happy camper when I listened to that. You know, Bossman Wayne was talking with you about cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you called him boss man, he called you boss.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, he's boss man. He's one level up.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been thinking about cars for a while. I don't know what I'm going to buy when the one I'm driving now, you know, gives up the ghost. And the one I'm driving now is a Hyundai. It's 10 years old.
Probably has given you very little in the way of problems.
That's true. Well, I certainly didn't buy it new. But, you know, one thing that I appreciate about it is that it has a drain plug on the torque converter, which is a very important little part. Because if you don't have a drain plug on your torque converter and you really want to change your transmission fluid, that transmission oil change is going to run you well over $100.
Ow!
You see, this is one of these cases. Now, I doubt that anybody listening to me talking right now has a drain plug on their torque converter. The deal is that when you take your car into the shop and, say, change the transmission fluid, you know, typical American car, what they do is they drop the pan that's underneath the transmission, and all the fluid just, you know, rushes out. And they clean the screen that's above the pan, put the pan back on, and dump in some transmission fluid. And what you just got was a replacement of one-third of your transmission fluid. The other two-thirds are still in the torque converter.
Ah, I had no idea. See, like I said, I'm really good on Merovingians, but I'm not worth a hoot on transmissions.
Well, so you're stuck with, you know, with most of your old fluid in there. And the way cars are designed these days is that the parts in the transmissions are being fitted closer and closer together with tighter and tighter tolerances. Now, nothing wrong with that. They get more efficiency this way. But the fluid has to be, you know, more and more refined to fit into these, you know, teensier and teensier spaces between all the whirling parts.
Yeah, right.
Did I explain that okay?
Yeah, you did a very good job. Even I understood it, and there were no Merovingians.
Okay, well, I'm an explainer. The thing is that the quality of that transmission fluid is really important, and, you know, you got to change it more religiously if you're not going to have transmission trouble. So you're going to want to change it, and the only way you can change the fluid if that plug isn't on there is you have to hook up the car to a special machine, you know, and you got to remove the, you know, take the hoses out right where the transmission hoses go into your radiator. There's a second radiator inside that's called the transmission cooler, inside the radiator. So you have to disconnect those hoses and connect them to the magic machine. And the magic machine pumps the old fluid out of your system and pumps in new fluid. And that's going to cost you $100.
Because of the magic machine.
Yeah, the magic machine is
overhead. Overhead.
Yeah. So what did it cost? You know, what did that plug cost? About $1, right? And my bottom line in all this is that to me, what's extremely important about a car is that it be maintainable at a reasonable cost. You know, no bullshit.
Yeah, well, our buddy Gene, the News Ninja, just wrote in a couple of minutes ago and said, buy electric, Richard, no oil.
Oh, well, Gene is right. I mean, I think really what we should have is cars that are built like railroad locomotives, which are called diesel electric for a reason.
Right, because it's actually a diesel generator running an electric engine.
Exactly. Or you could say it's an electric locomotive that carries its own power plant on its back. And you know, that's fine. So in a car, let's say, you might have one electric motor at each wheel. And wouldn't that be cool? I mean, you could do all kinds
of things. More stuff I don't understand.
Well, it's easy. You know, it's simple. The reason why those old trolley cars...
See, but Richard, that's what always gets me in trouble. It always starts with... Well, you know how Bogart in Casablanca says, oh, it always starts with the sound of a tinny piano player and some woman saying, mister, I met a man. Well, for me, it always starts with some guy saying, no, Bob, it's easy. And the next thing I know, I'm into $600 repair bills.
Exactly.
Because I'm Dr. Thumbfingers.
Well, it's, you know, when I was working on stereo equipment, I discovered a healthy disgust for Sony because their stuff was impossible to fix, and just next to impossible to repair. And it wasn't because of sophisticated technology. It was because you couldn't get at anything. And, you know, our cars now are like, you know, you can't get at anything. You got to replace a 5-cent part, literally a 5-cent part, and, you know, you're under $500 worth of labor.
Richard, have you ever read Kurt Vonnegut's Sirens of Titan?
No, I have not.
Treat yourself sometime and read that, because the role that is played by a 5-cent part in that brilliant book will absolutely just blow your mind.
Okay. I'm going to put that on my list. What was the name of it again?
Sirens
of Titan.
Sirens of Titan.
Okay. I'm jotting it down. You know, I was thinking about what kind of cars do we need? I mean, you need cars in West Virginia, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, that's something I've brought up from time to time. We keep talking about the need to modernize our transportation infrastructure in this country, and yet, and somehow most of the time when we're talking about that, we manage to not talk about rural America. Because rural America, Richard, is the greatest challenge that this nation faces in terms of its transportation future. I live in a place where the nearest grocery store, well, okay, there's a little grocery store that has some stuff, and it is a mile and a half away up and down a hill on a road that is frequently traveled by overloaded coal trucks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not bicycling up there. I don't care. The other grocery store that has more stuff is 6 miles away. Now, you know, it's 2.5 miles to the drugstore, the pharmacy. Now, for people who don't have automobiles, how do you remedy that? How do you fix that? Buses, light rail, what?
Well, it's you're not dense enough for light rail.
No, we're not. And that's what was frustrating I applauded it, and I was really proud to see it happening when the Obama administration proposed these massive infrastructure increases in passenger rail in the United States. And I looked at the map and I went, "Hey, look! Everybody gets something but Appalachia. How nice."
Well, let's look at it another way. You know, let's sort of take a medium approach. How about putting light rail on that rail line that's on the north shore of the Kanawha?
Well, yeah, but that rail line's also got coal trains on it.
Okay, well, run the coal trains at night.
No. See, that's the whole, because Amtrak runs down that track.
No, you're talking about the south shore. I'm talking about the north shore of the Kanawha River.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Backwards.
Now let's say you want arbitrarily. Let's say you take that, which is an industrial line. It goes up to it goes deep into Ohio. I once sent you a map of it.
Yeah.
And now, what if you put light rail on that line? I realize there's a lot of industry on it, but the way certain light rail lines have been set up is that the administration, you know, the government, whatever, government agency that runs the light rail takes over the ownership of the thing, and they take over all the maintenance. The railroad sells it to them for a buck, and the railroad is relieved from all responsibility of maintenance, and they get to run their trains at night. And it's sort of like a win-win for everybody around. And so my question would be, do you have enough user volume to make that happen?
No, absolutely not. Once upon a time, we absolutely did. In the heyday of the underground coal boom in the early part of the 20th century, it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing, Richard, for folks for instance, at a place called Kennard.
Where's that?
That's in Fayette County. It's on the south side of the New River.
Okay.
And it's out from Fayetteville a little ways. And there was literally a big gondola car that ran on a steep incline and there was a community at the top of the mountain, and the railroad was at the bottom of the mountain, and the mines were at the bottom of the mountain. And instead of going into Fayetteville, which was kind of a little one-horse town to be, anyway, it was much easier just to get on that open gondola car and be carried down the side of the, down the slope, the steep slope of the mountain, and catch the train at the Kennard, at the Kennard train station. It's spelled C-U-N-A-R-D, by the way. At the and go to Charleston.
Now, was this on the CNO?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The CNO, you know, changed the size of the river just around where the Gauley comes in.
Yeah, at Gauley Bridge.
Yeah, yeah, right. And there's the other railroad that's there, which was the New York Central. God, that's what it is now.
Well, isn't that the one that started out as the Virginian?
Okay, the Virginian is a competitor, was a competitor to the Norfolk and Western. So it comes into your area directly from the south.
Well, the Virginian is a fascinating story in its own right, Richard.
Yeah, you've mentioned it to me.
William Nelson Page and the man who bailed out Mark Twain, whose name doesn't occur to me right off the top of my head. But it was built completely in secret, right under the CNO's nose.
Yes.
And it was done for purposes of getting the coal out of this region where I live without paying the highway robbery freight prices of the CNO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was, at one time, it was known as the richest little railroad in the world.
The Virginia?
Yeah.
Wow. I know it on the map, and the part I wanted to mention was that the Virginian comes clear to the Kanawha River from the south.
Yes.
Bridges the Kanawha where it intersects with the New York Central, which is on the north shore of the Kanawha. So, you see, we used to have lots of routes like this in the country.
Oh, I know. You know, that train trip that Wayne and I took from here to Chicago, yeah. The whole trip, once you got into reasonably flat ground, there was, you know, probably 50 feet of rail right away, if not more, and two or three parallel tracks the whole trip. The whole trip.
Which area were you?
Well, I was on. We were on the Cardinal of the Amtrak Cardinal. But you know, going through northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, Indiana, into Illinois.
Oh, that area. Yeah, that's the one I've never been on. But anyway, back to the Virginian. You see, what you had these through routes that were made up of cooperating railroads. So the point where you mentioned was actually a junction between two of these cooperating railroads. The Virginian ended, and the New York Central began. And the Virginian actually at one time ran a passenger train that went over the bridge and off to Charleston.
Well, and among other things, Colonel Page, whose house, whose mansion still stands down in the little town where I live near, had a train that came, had his own personal train that literally came to his doorstep. And he would get up, shave with the straight razor, you know, twist his handlebar mustache with wax, put on his bowler hat, and get on his personal train and go to Washington.
Yeah. The, you know, what I was getting at is that there are different ways to do light rail, and Ottawa's got the most interesting one because it's so much on the cheap, which is it's not rural, but it is out of the way. It doesn't go downtown. So it sort of goes sideways, a little ways out, and it's a freight line. But they run these little cars, you know, these little passenger cars, and to keep the price down, it's not electrified. So they're little diesel cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, what if we had, the only thing that gets me about diesel is the smell of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, but anyway, what if we had little, electric, vans, you know, for a little tiny rural area like where I am? What if we had little vans that ran on a 20-minute schedule?
You know, California does that.
Really?
In some of our rural areas. They don't run that often. But they're little vans, you know, and they serve small rural communities. I can't tell you more than that because I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
But, you know, there are reasons to be having this conversation, Richard. There was a over at the Cole Tattoo blog run by Ken Ward at WVGazette.com. You know, it's the go-to blog about anything coal-related, I would say, on a nationwide basis. And he had a blog post the other day about a new peer-reviewed science study that has come out. And this is really important because carbon capture and sequestration has been touted as a sort of holy grail that will allow us to continue to burn coal well into, you know, for 500 years of coal, 500 years clean coal.
I don't like it.
Well, mainly, yeah, right, because, and to be fair, it's not really something you either like or dislike. It's simply a matter of, it's like saying, I don't like unicorns. They don't exist.
You know, right.
I don't like pixies. They don't exist.
Wait.
Just let me finish up real quick.
Sure.
The upshot of this study, is that even if carbon capture and sequestration or carbon capture and storage is fully implemented the way that all these proponents say that it's going to work, you know what happened? You know what the net result of it is, Richard?
I think it's nothing.
No, the net result is it doubles the coal's carbon footprint.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, so instead of being some leap into a brave new future, it's actually a retrograde motion into a darker and filthier coal-based past.
Yeah. Well, I started out by talking about cars that are practical to own, you know, that are repairable. And I once owned a car that was perfect for West Virginia, and that was my 62 Saab.
Now, we mentioned Kurt Vonnegut earlier. He was one of the early dealerships of Saab in the United States.
He was?
Yeah. And he said the early Saabs were two cycle engines.
Correct.
And he also, in his own dry humor-filled way, said, I learned early on as an early Saab dealer that if you didn't get the mix just right, the Saab engine would quickly revert to its natural metallic ore state when it melted down.
That was not my experience. You just had to get the ratio close. But I want one again, but only that doesn't pollute, because the two-cycle engine does.
Yeah, they're nasty.
The thing about that car, after World War II, right after World War II, Europe was in bad shape, and what the car companies had to make were cheap, practical automobiles. You know, none of this artsy-fartsy bullshit. You know, we needed basic transportation. And Saab was the most interesting of these companies because they were an aircraft company. They took all the aircraft smarts and stuck them in that little automobile. And the result was a car that was nimble, the best thing I have ever driven over snow and ice. Handled fantastically, and they would use almost the standard retail car to win the Monte Carlo rally. And one of the ways they won that rally was by bouncing the car off the snowbanks.
And now Saab is all but no more, correct?
Well, it's a different Saab. Down, you know, around 90...
Well, I mean, General Motors drove it into the ground.
How can I say? Well before GM got their hands on it, the company started making these boutique things. And they were, you know, you needed to have a live-in mechanic.
Right. The phrase became, oh, my God, it's another Saab story.
Yeah. But, you know, I drove my car 0 degrees outside in Connecticut, where it was a wonderful car. And I drove it, my lower heater hose burst. Now, there's a whole pan underneath the engine for aerodynamic reasons. You can't get at the engine from underneath. Well, I took it into the Saab garage. With no water in the system, it was 0 degrees. I figured I could get away with it. And you know, I said, "Could you change the hose for me?" He said, "Well, come back in an hour." So I came back an hour later, and the guy says, "Your car's ready. Here's your bill. It's $6."
Gone are the days.
$6. Well, talking about the mid '60s, and I said, $2 for a hose and $4 for labor? He said, I said, what did you have to do, pull the engine? He said, yes.
$4 to pull the engine. Oh, I'm just, yeah, you've gobsmacked me.
Yeah, the thing was that it was so easy to work on that thing that, you know, pulling
the engine didn't even involve a block and tackle, probably.
I don't even know how the, you know, I used to do...
Maybe a garden tackle from the local high school football team, but not a block and tackle.
And the car handled fantastically. I mean, my only complaints about it were that the brakes weren't great and the seats were really uncomfortable. That's about it. Cooling wasn't up to California when I came out here. But, you know, I'm thinking about all these other unusual cars in Europe from that period. There's so much innovation.
Ah, the Trabant.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, Trabant's plywood.
No, it was actually made out of compressed toxic waste, I think it turned out.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like if it caught fire, you could die from breathing the fumes.
Well, in England, I don't think they were making very much interesting. You know, they just kept making the same stuff the way we do.
Oh, come on, an MGA? That's not interesting, please.
Well, yeah.
Now, granted, you know, that comes with the standard warning: if there's no oil on the floor, there's no oil in the car.
I love it. You know, Germany had a company called DKW, and they innovated the Wankel engine.
Mazda went on to use to such success. Those little RX-7s used to just scoot. Granted, it was so light, it was like being on roller skates, but man, they flew.
Yep. I drove one. I loved it. Borgward was a company. They sort of made a German Volvo. And they had a subsidiary called Goliath. There was Gogomobile that made these little cars. That's German. And they made some of it in Spain and some in Australia. In France, there was, there's another company. I forgot their name. They had a sideways small car, pistons up to the sides. They were, it was like a two-cylinder engine, air-cooled with pistons that, you know, opposed each other going sideways. Very easy to work on.
Yeah, like a boxer. A boxer configuration.
Yeah,
Where the pistons are horizontally opposed and go right at each other.
Exactly. And Holland made a car called the DAF Daffodil, and the DAF used a rubber band for transmission.
You mean like the little balsa airplanes that you used to spin the propeller with the rubber band?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
These were all decent cars.
Well, by the way, you might be interested to know, Lottie has just shared with us in the chat room, Dateline Paris, General Motors has sold Beijing Automotive Industry Holding the rights to technology from its Saab unit that will help the Chinese company to lift its profile at home.
Yeah. Well, don't know. I mean, I was never impressed by the Saabs after 64 or 5. The one I had, I would love to have one now, you know. It's just fun to drive the thing. And very hard to get stuck in it, which is why I said it's a great West Virginia car for when you got all ice and snow on the road.
Yeah, just let a little air out of the tires and go. Hey, Richard, I got to roll on. I'm going to try to hit a couple more Blinkens, but this has been a lot of fun. I know. See, that's the thing. I know about cars. I don't know about cars.
Well, what I want right now is I want a Citroen 2CV, maybe two of them. I want some Gogomobiles, which is a clown car. You know, it looks like something Donald Duck would drive.
Yeah, you see them in the Shriner parades.
Yeah, well, it'd be great fun to drive along on the freeway and have people point and laugh at me. I would really like to do that.
You're in California. They point and shoot.
Happy blinking, Bob.
All right, take care, Richard.
Bye.
Bye now. Oh, I love the places we go on this program. I honestly do. And let's see here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Through this past Lottie last day, and he thought it was a good idea, and he's looking into getting it run out. With the respect to the beginning of the program, the insurance being required now, it Simplicity itself to start up a company called No Insurance Insurance, where you just send out nice pieces of paper that say you are not insured by the No Insurance Insurance Company. And then any obligations to get insured are met, and you don't have to pay any fines or anything else. But I hear that got ripped out at last, but it would have made a lot of fun.
You know, that's very much like statutory minimum auto insurance.
Exactly.
Because what happens, I mean, you know, West Virginia is a poor state. We've got a lot of poor people. What happens is you have to go get your sticker. You want to make sure, you know, you have to have a proof of insurance certificate. And what people who can't afford insurance do is they go to one of these fly-by-night insurance companies. They pay for a month of insurance. They get a proof of insurance that is technically listed for 6 months. They drop their coverage and never pay another dime, and they're okay for 6 months, as long as they don't hit anybody, of course, because it's liability only. But what kind of blows my mind out of all this is this right-wing hissy fit that's being thrown. I don't know if you've seen it. What, 13 attorneys general filed suit today. Did you see this?
13?
Yeah. The minute the bill was signed into law, 13 attorneys general filed suit to have the health care law overturned as unconstitutional.
Honest to God, why doesn't Obama just pull out the nice pen and declare the Republican Party a terrorist organization and have them all sent off to Guantanamo?
Really,
if you want a object example, por la encourage la otra, that's, you know, the kind of one you want to go for, right? Something that's, you know, oh, he didn't mean that.
Yeah, give them what they want.
Exactly.
But, I mean, but these guys are loons, okay? One of them, one of the attorneys general, is a guy named John Bruning. He's the Republican attorney general of Nebraska. And
they're all insane. You have to make them wards of the state to from others.
Right, you know, right. Put them in a little rubber room with a straitjacket on and a purple crayon between their toes that they can use to write on the walls. Sure, why not? But this guy...
Women for Republicans.
This guy actually...
All the jobs they clear up, well, that'll be your jobs program for Democrats.
Yeah. But this Bruning guy said, never before in the history of Merca has an American citizen been compelled to buy anything.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody thought that was a backdoor into once it's defeated the mandatory buy-in.
But here's the fun part.
Instant in for one pair, single pair health care.
I mean, but what came my way was it, you know, does Nebraska not have a mandatory auto insurance law?
But the
argument that they make,
licensing people.
The argument that they make is, well, see, you don't have to have a car. Really?
You don't have to have a life either, I guess.
Yeah.
Or health.
But here's the fun part. It
pursue health, but you don't actually have to have it.
It goes even deeper. It turns out they don't have these miserable, crazy right wingers. They don't have a bone to pick with Barack Obama. It turns out they've got a bone to pick with George Washington.
Well, any rational human being, George Washington, because they're all cowards, is nice and dead, so they can go after him all they want.
Oh, but they worship him. But there's this
worship him, but they still fear and loathe him. Well, they fear and loathe everybody else.
There's this little thing out there called the Second Militia Act of 1792.
Oh God, my history doesn't go back that far. Sorry.
Well, that's
I know I got a memory hole, but that is definitely in it.
Well, it turns out that the Second Militia Act of 1792 required every American male to purchase the following: a good musket or firelock, a sufficient bayonet and belt, two spare flints, a knapsack, a pouch with a box therein to contain not less than 24 cartridges suited to the bore of his musket or firelock, each cartridge to contain a proper quantity of powder and ball, or with a good rifle, knapsack, shot pouch, and powder horn, 20 balls suited to the bore of his rifle and a quarter pound of powder.
No raccoon hat?
Raccoon hat optional.
Huh.
In some parts of the country, it would be beaver. You know, I always prefer the raccoon with the ringtail and everything, but there were people that preferred the flop. Then again, they were eating beaver tail too, so what do you want? But, you know, there it is. And that wasn't unconstitutional. These people are idiots. And the only thing they're doing, is trying to make, they're just throwing crap on the wall, hoping that the idiots who pay attention to them will go, yeah, ain't no American ever been forced to buy nothing.
Well, you know, that guy that was on Rachel's Maddow show, I'm sure that narrows it down entirely. Father was one of the founders of the Christian Right movement. He says that you can't decide how society should be directed by listening to the town idiot. This is right up on that list of, you know, people you don't listen to, people who are going to win a Darwin Award someday, are not the people you look to for longevity treatments, medical professionals, people who work with firearms, you know, Darwin's Award candidate. No, 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 you don't ask these people for things that might, you know, end up getting you in that same category.
No, you just want to send them a box of the Acme Rocket roller skates. You know, ever since I was a kid watching cartoons, I've wanted a couple of boxes of Instant.